Now, in this story, Christians see Jesus both as an end and a beginning. Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies, but also the inauguration of God's rule. In his human ministry, Jesus announces the rule of God and symbolizes that power of God's rule through his works of healing and exorcism. Jesus is not seen by Christians as establishing a theocracy or sketching a system of social arrangements, but rather as calling for a reform of the heart, a reform of individual conscience, and of the formation of a community that lives in a certain way. But for Christians, the most important thing about the story of Jesus in his lifetime is not what he said and did. It is that in Jesus, God entered human existence. This is the doctrine called incarnation, becoming flesh. So that, to use Hindu terms, Jesus is an avatar in that sense of the deity. He is an appearance, but not simply an appearance, a realization of God in human form. So that it is not what Jesus said and did, but who he was that is so fundamental to Christians. This, in this sense, Christians resolve the mystery of suffering by having God participate in human suffering. Suffering is not alien to God's self. By Jesus' resurrection, furthermore, Jesus has entered into God's rule and God's triumph as a human person. He is Lord over the church and even over the cosmos. So that God's fundamental victory has already been won within history. The resurrection in this sense for Christians, as I mentioned earlier, is analogous to creation itself. And that's one of the reasons why Genesis is so important for Christians. Because if Jesus is the beginning of a new creation, if he is a new Adam, obviously he is responding to the first creation, the first Adam. And that's the way in which Christian theology has tended to play out the story in terms of that first human person and Jesus as the new human person, the new human possibility. Now, it is obvious that God's triumph in history is not empirically visible. So the earliest Christians thought in terms of an already and not yet, that there was a sense in which God's triumph in creation had been realized through the resurrection of Jesus. Humanity has taken, not only has God entered fully into humanity in the incarnation, but in the resurrection, humanity now partakes fully in the divine. And yet, people still get sick. People still die. People still sin. And there's evil in the world, and evil often appears triumphant. So Christians are caught in this very oxymoronic kind of situation, claiming on the one side the outrageous proposition that God has won, that humans are reconciled, that God has shared humanity, and that humans share in God's power proleptically, and yet the world seems to continue to run on the same rails it has always run on. And so what happens, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he talks about the resurrection of Jesus as the first fruits, using the term from Jewish sacrifice. The first fruits is like the first part of a harvest that represents the rest of the harvest. So Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of the resurrection of all that is going to happen in the future. And Christians then talk about the parousia, the second coming of Jesus, as the full realization of God's triumph, which will be empirically visible.